God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words, displaying spiritual truths. So the Holy Spirit is saying to you and to me that we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. And last Sunday, I was saying that it is important that we know all of them. If God gave them to you, it's because you can't do without them. It's very critical that we know them. And it's important that we know how to apply them, how to use them. But along that truth comes a warning that there is a thief that wants to steal them from you and steal them from me. So our Lord Jesus told us in John chapter 10, verse 10, that the thief cometh not but to steal. And guess what he wants to steal? Is those very things that God gave you is after. He wants to steal them. He wants to steal. He wants to kill. He wants to destroy. He wants to steal. He wants to kill. He wants to destroy. Let's go through it. He wants to. If you are sleeping, wake up. That's part of his strategy, is to hide the truth from you. That's what it does. Every single time you are going to hear something that will help you, it will try to make you sleep. The Bible says this: if the gospel is hid, it is hid in those whom the God of this world has blinded. Their what? Part of blinding your eyes is close your ear. You don't want you to hear. If I start showing Nigerian movie now, you wake up. I'm telling you, right in church, it will make you sleep. It wants you to sleep. He takes your mind off the thing, so you won't know. And my people are destroyed for, yeah, you won't know. You won't know. So you won't let that happen. I can't do that for you. You are the only one who can say no. I'm going to listen. So he says, the thief comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Let's go through that list. To what? I want to hear you. To what? To what? To what? So anything that steals your joy, steals your marriage, steals your money, anything that destroys, kills, is not from God. Don't attribute sickness to God, because it kills. It's not from God. I want you to be clear about this one. Anything that steals from you, kills, destroys, it's not from God. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it what? Not take it away from you. This ought to be clear to us. And so the Holy Spirit wants the church that is going all over the place looking for who he will devour. But then there are two points I want to bring out before we go on. Is the need to be spiritually mature. If you are not spiritually mature, you will not know that you have those things, and you will not experience them. And without them, you will live a normal, carnal, natural life. You depend on what the carnal people depend on, and you'll be so limited, you'll be so defeated. You'll be struggling and failing. So it's important that we mature spiritually. Galatians 4, verse 1. And I'm reading New Living Translation. Think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up. Even though they actually own everything their father had, they have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age their father set. So if somebody is not spiritually grown, even though they have all these things that their father has, if you know the typical families, when a man dies and the children are still small, the neighbors, the relations usually want to take their land from them because those children can't do much. So the Bible is saying that if a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than the house slaves and servants until they grow up, even though they actually own everything their father had. Even though they own it, they are not better off. They are still like servants. They have no say. They don't even know where the bank account is. They don't even know the names of banks, not to talk of where they are. They don't know what signature means. They don't even know what owning a building means, even though the building belongs to them. But because they are babies, they can't identify those things. They don't know how to get about to even execute the will of their father. Nothing. And so they depend on guardians to do that for them. And if you look at the body of Christ, you see that a lot of people depend on guardians. They depend on a pastor. Many people depend on guardians because they are babies. They depend on guardians. Most testimonies here, he prayed for me. He prayed for me. How about your own prayer? What's wrong with your own prayer? Guardians. They depend on guardians because they are babies. They don't know anything. All those things you are going for them to pray for is yours. They are yours, but you don't know. So you go to guardians. And then you go to the wrong guardians sometimes. They add to your trouble. Check the body of Christ now. Because people think that ministry is people come to me. That's not ministry. Ministry is that people go to Jesus. That's what ministry is. Ministry is to lead people to who? Jesus, not to lead them to you. God is no respecter of persons. You can't pretend you are special with God. You are my, you know, God put you there, so they come to you. Are you serious? There's no such thing. Because people don't want to grow. They're not interested in growing. So they depend on guardians. Even though those things are theirs, but they don't know they belong to them. So they depend on guardians. Number two is that spiritual babes cannot fight spiritual battles. It's not possible. We have children's church. You don't have issues. You go and bring those children. Come and solve the problem. You look for adults. Ephesians 4:11, the same book of Ephesians, 4:11. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors, and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Build them up to maturity. Build them up to maturity. 13. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we'll be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So, for us to grow spiritually, I want you to listen to me. You must have the ability to listen. You must have the ability to what? Life is here. Life is here. Again, what the devil does is to stop, block your ears. Did you know when Stephen was given a said, I saw the Lord standing as the glory of Jesus. He was describing it. The next thing we read in the Bible, thank you. The next thing we read in the Bible is that they blocked their ears. Read your Bible. They blocked their ears. They don't want to hear about that revelation. If you want to survive spiritually, you must be a good listener. And in every relationship, you need to be a good listener. for that relationship to be healthy. In every relationship, it is key that you are a good what? Not a good talker. Listening is more important than talking. Listening solves more problems than talking. And a lot of people are just looking for a listening ear. Because nobody gives them ears to listen. Somebody came to my office and said to me, said, for the first time, you are the first people that first person that sat down and listened to me. He said, every time I want to bring out my burden, they throw Bible at me, they throw scripture at me, and they didn't know that I was about to commit suicide. They didn't know. They didn't know. So if you want to really succeed in life, you must listen. Don't let the devil plant such pride in you that you can't listen. You become unteachable. The thing that makes a difference between two people is what they know. A challenge can come to two people. The thing that makes a difference is what this person knows and what this person knows. And they all learn, both of them. This person learned, found a solution. This person doesn't have the solution. That's what makes the difference. You must learn. You must learn. You must learn. You must have. You must listen. Be a good listener. If you have children, to build relationship with them, you must be a good listener. You must listen to your children. Don't say these children are bothering. They're not bothering you. You have to listen to them. And so to grow spiritually, you must listen. You must be taught. The Bible says God put in the church teachers, pastors, and this to teach you to mature. Look at Colossians 2:7. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your life be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong. In the truth you were taught. In the truth you were what? Taught. And you will overflow now with thankfulness because you have victory, you have enjoyed these things that God gave us. Now, if we don't grow, brethren, we cannot fight spiritual battles. Look at Ephesians 4:14. Ephesians 4:14. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. That's how spiritual babies are. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Somebody came to me, very, very distressed. It's not from here. They come to me from everywhere. Came to me extremely distressed. And I said, I'm not talking to you. You go talk to your pastor. I said, if I'm talking to you, your pastor must give me permission. I can't go into another family and take over from the father of the house. I said, it's arrogance. You didn't give him a chance. So I called the pastor. I said, your member is here. He said, Daddy, once he's you, I'm comfortable. You can talk to him. I said, okay, what's the problem? I said, witches are in my house. I said, who brought them? And how did he even know? He said, I told somebody, I have this one. And then somebody now told me they are witches. I said, okay, what did he tell you is the solution? He said, we're coming to my house to put oil everywhere. I said, but you and them are foolish. You don't know what they're talking about. I said, ritualism will bring you into contact with demonic spirits. That thing you are doing is ritualism. I said, we're intelligent human beings. I'm just giving you an example how we know. Look, if you don't grow, it's your own disadvantage. Because you become superstitious, easily carried away by every wind of doctrine. And especially when people have titles in all these groups you people go to. Once they have this title, you think they are matured. Many of them are babies. Because they come to me. They come to me. Because they've told them it's a witches. So they think they're witches. I said, intelligent people don't ask foolish. Can we do process of elimination? He said, what does that mean? I said, I'm bringing a carpenter to your house. We're opening the roofs to see the witch. And we went. I brought one. We opened. He said, go in. It's no witch. We came outside. It's a branch of tree that is rubbing on the place. It's a branch. But the big title people are saying, ah, we'll come to your house and do this. I say, it's nonsense. It's absolutely nonsense. Look, you got to mature. It pays tremendous dividend. So that not anything that happens around you doesn't throw you like a baby. You know, you get so afraid and then you start running around and anything they tell you, you swallow. Then we no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. Every wind of new teaching. I'm warning you people here. I'm your pastor. I owe it to you. Unstandardized teaching will expose you to demonic doctrine pretty soon. Somewhere down the line, you hit it. You have to be. You must be. Didn't the Bible say judge all things? Whether they're of God. Get standardized. The Bible must authenticate it, prove it. If it's not the Bible, throw it away. Don't say Bishop so-so said. They do this. Pastor Chinedu said. Who is Pastor Chinedu? The Bible is the auditor of the word. Can I hear amen? That's the living word of God. That's the auditor of everything. So you need to grow and you need to be taught. Every profession you practice, you are taught. Tell me the one you practice, you are not taught. Except those who say medicine in Onitsha. Nobody teaches them. They just go and bring, if you don't know what they should put, mentholator. Put it in different distance. They tell them if you rub it, clap your hand 3 times, you breathe it. He said, all your headache, every sickness, goes and people line up buying mentholator. When you hit it, it evaporates. Simple size. So they say, he said, you must hip it to, for it to work. So I see, what should I do? They put it, rub, bam, bam, bam. So once you do it like that 3 times, all your sickness goes. You are looking at me. Haven't you bought some in the bus? Why looking at you? You bought some yourself now. All those buses going to Onitsha, they send them there. Mentholator. Let's read Colossians 2:7 again. Let your roots grow down into Him. Let your roots grow down into Christ, and let your lives be built on Him. On Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught. And you will overflow now with thankfulness. Now, the book of Revelation, we're sharing this on Wednesday here. If you weren't in the Wednesday prayer meeting, you are missing a lot. I think that's where the crunch now is. Somebody came to me and said, Pastor, Wednesday is something else. God will bless you, Mark, for your leadership and with Sandra. They're beautiful young people that are leading us. Really awesome what God is doing. When the baby comes, don't show it to anybody. They have to pay to see the baby. We give God thanks for that baby. Wonderful baby. The Lord is good to those that serve Him. Praise the Lord. I think it's next week. We're about there. Don't worry, we're about there. So, we shared this in our prayer meeting about a woman who's a pastor. Went to God in prayer and said to the Lord, he said, the church is not looking like They are victorious. They are saved from anything. Say the church is full of people who are defeated. Say there are strange things, dead sicknesses of all types. Say many people in church are sick. If they were healed, they don't see it. He said, and your glory, if your glory is there, why are people in church this sick and things like that? And suffering all manner of things. Divorce, the rate of divorce in the church is very high. He said, why? And the Lord said to him, they will not listen to me. And another woman went to God. This one I told you. He's a practitioner. He does this mental health something. So he sees people whose head needs shrinking. So he's a head shrinker. You know he's a head shrinker? He's people who deal with mental. So Americans call them head shrinkers. So he's a head shrinker. So he works with, he has a PhD and all that kind of thing. So he works with people who are emotionally and mentally, you know. So he said the thing that shocked her is that she comes to the church and she's a pastor. She says, I see the same problem I see in my office in the church. And I'm wondering. And I go to God and I said, I go to my office. I see these problems. I come to church. I see the same problem. What is going on? And the Lord told him, that's ignorance. It's what? Ignorance. One is Dr. Sandra. You can check that up. Dr. Sandra Kennedy. The other one is Billy Brim or something. These two women are honest. They went to God and said, the church is not looking like what you described. What's going on here? So with Billy, God said to him, what did I tell you happened in the last days? He said, go to the book of Revelation and see what I warned the church about. And that's Revelation chapter 12 from verse 12. Revelation 12, 12. Therefore, rejoice you heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having what? Great wrath, because he knoweth that he had but a... He said, these are the things that is going to happen in the last days. I warned the church. That's coming with a wrath because his days are numbered. And all you need to do is to look at the world in which we live. There is pornography everywhere. The things that people were ashamed of 15 years ago is now mainstream culture. Check where we live now. Witchcraft is being celebrated, even taught in schools. Many schools have in their library books about witchcraft. And if you put a book about Jesus, they will throw it out. If you put a book about Muhammad, it's okay. The only book that will not be there is about Jesus. These were schools many years ago they used to pray in. They used to teach Bible. In these schools, many of the centers of learning in America and Europe were started by Christians. All the important, all these Ivy League universities you hear about today, they were institutions where they taught Bible. They were owned by Christians. The prison system was owned by Christians. The Christians started a prison system to bring people and teach them the Bible. And they started to change. Government came and took it over and gave it to contractors. Am I telling lies? Gave it to contractors. All the prisons you see today are owned by contractors. Not government. The devil started to do all these things. Took over prisons. Christians brought criminals together, started teaching them the word. They were transformed. They were changing. The devil came and took government, took it over from them. And handed it to contractors. Now, contractors are making money out of every prison. And they go to prison and come back, come out. Listen, 70% repeat that crime. 70%. Look at the society where we are in. Even look at the church. Do you know that a lot of pastors don't believe the Bible in America? Some denominations have taken away the blood of Jesus from their hymn book, taking away everything. But God warned us. He says, coming with a wrath on this earth, because he knows his days are numbered. Are we talking of drugs? Now it is awesome to promote marijuana. Is it, how do you call it? Igbo? Marijuana. You know what they say? We make billions out of it. Do you know a lot of cookies that you buy, children cookies, is laced with it? So they want to produce a new generation that depend on it. When you buy cookies for your children, watch out. What is there? Drugs. Drug usage. Opium. Killing people. Somebody here told me, he said, I don't even know how I made it. He said, all my friends died. He said, we will drive from here to Florida. We won't know how we got to Florida. He's sitting in this place. But God changed his life. He said, Pastor, I'm telling you, he said, we won't know how we got there. Yeah, we'll drive state after. He said, we don't know how we got there. He said, I saw my friends die. They start convulsing and die. So how I survived, I don't know. But it's common. My little boy told me, he said, Daddy, that bus stop, that bus has come to take us to school. He said, they sell drugs there. I said, it's not true. He said, but Daddy, let me tell you, they even offer to me. He said, the Chinese restaurant you see across, he said, they go and buy drugs there. 80% of people that live here take drugs. All the, I don't care whether they are blue-tied people or whatever. Many people are on drugs. I'm not talking of perverse sex. They brought me a form to fill, male, female, or none. Official form. If you go to New York right now, as I'm talking to you, you see the trains you ride, they don't say ladies and gentlemen again. It is banned. You can't say ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what they call. Check out what I'm telling you now. The society is incredible what is happening. Do you know there are many Bible colleges? You know who teaches there? Atheists, they teach in many Bible colleges. And I confronted some people. I said, why do you put an atheist to teach? He said, so we hear different forms. I said, no. I said, no. The Bible says we don't sit in the council of the ungodly. I said, no, it's wrong. They didn't even believe. They didn't care about what I was saying. See, that's the council of the ungodly. You don't sit there. And these are some denominations you even know. I don't want to call their names. That's why in these last days, you need to have a long rope. So that if they start doing that kind of thing, you drop the rope for them and go your way. Don't follow denomination because many of them are doing things you don't know. I'm telling you now, I don't follow denomination. Pasakam, I follow Jesus. So once they start doing all that kind of thing and I'm warning them, this thing, people, I'm warning you people now. One day I say, I'm no more there, go and sit and leave me alone. Because I won't follow you. How can I bring atheists to prepare pastors? Atheists. Prepare people who will be pastors. Tomorrow you say your churches are closing. Why won't it close? Are we talking of divorce? Divorce is... In fact, have you seen an advertisement? I saw one. It said, we can help you get married, but we can deliver you in 30 minutes out of it. That's what they need to deliver you out of it. 30 minutes. We deliver you in 30 minutes. It won't cost you much. In Mexico, it's a 3-year contract. Because there are so much divorce cases, they say we don't have time. So now marriage is 3 years. After the third year, if both of you don't come back, it's normally taken as nullified. So you don't have to come wasting our time in court. There are so many things judges want to case. No, not case, but divorce. New Jersey is no cost law. You don't have to show cause. I don't want to marry. That's all. You're gone. In this state. Divorce. I told somebody, I said, if Jesus will call the church now and said, I give you 24 hours to divorce, 90% of people in church will rush before he changes his mind. Praise the Lord. Many people are not happy in their marriage at all. Are you kidding me? Many are not. They just tag in. I have decided to follow Jesus. Just tagging along. Josh, we borrow. Now, but God warned us in that Revelation 12:12. Let's read it again. But God warned us. God warned us. Revelation. Therefore, rejoice. But why should I rejoice? We'll come to that. Rejoice, you heavens, and ye that dwell on in them. Those of them in heaven, rejoice. But on earth, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he had a short time. So that's what is happening. That's what is happening. Same-sex marriages. Churches are fighting with that too. Is it not what destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? God called it abomination in the Old Testament, called it abomination in the New Testament. It's plain and white. There's no time to justify all those things. You don't hate people, though. You don't hate people because nobody is perfect. But God has moral standards. Can I hear amen? You don't hate people. You don't. You don't throw them out of church. You don't embarrass them. But God has moral standards. There's nobody that God created imperfect. It's the devil that does all of that. The one that comes to kill, to steal. He even attacks babies in the womb. He attacks them. They come out immature. Come out in deformed. It's not God. Because when God created man, he said, man is good. It's the devil. Praise the Lord. So, but God gave us solution, what to do. God gave us instruction, what to do. Number one, he told us not to love the world. 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world. Do not love the world of sin that opposes God and his precept, nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, then the love of the Father. So what he's saying, if you start loving the world, your passion for God will die. It will die, brethren, I'm telling you. The love of the Father will not be there. It will die. And the Bible says in the last day, the love of many will was cold. Why is the love of the... There's no vacuum. You don't have vacuum. Nature abhors vacuum. You must love something. You must love something. So the Bible told us, don't love the world. Don't be deceived by the passions and glamour of worldly things, especially movies. Those of you that watch movies, I'll be praying for you. A lot of movies are useless. There are no Christian principles to teach you. You sit in your house without thinking you are imbibing worldly things, and pretty soon it becomes normal for you. Your conscience won't even bother you anymore. So we are told not to love the world. If we do, then the love of the Father will not be in us. Then going to church, and then they become something you are pushed to do. You know, you have to go because you must go. And then you have every reason not to go. It's because you don't love going. If you love going, you make time for it. What you love, you do. Amen? And he warned us that all these things in the world that we see, said all these things that we see, that they don't last. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever bought a house? If you ever bought a house, let me see your hand up. Okay, only three people. You see the house you own. If you go back to the history, People owned it before you. The first person that bought it is gone, maybe. It has gone from hand to hand to hand. My question is, where is this hand to hand going to end? That we cling to these things as if it is everything. Somebody owned it before you now. Maybe it's not even alive. Another person bought it. Another person. Maybe you are the 10th. My house is 200 and something years old. I don't know who owned them or didn't own them. But somewhere along the line, I will not own it again. Another person will own it. My question is, why do we cling to these things? That even in practice shows us it's not ours. Let me talk to us about things of the world. Please listen to me. Do you use perfume? Huh? If you use perfume, you know it smells nice. I didn't used to use perfume until people started giving me perfume. I started using. Now I like perfume. Let me tell you something. You know perfume is beautiful. Do you drink it? Huh? It's the same with the things of the world. They offer you jobs, income. It's beautiful, but don't drink it. If you drink it, it will kill you. I don't know if you got what I'm saying. Yeah, your cloth, beautiful, job, gives you money. And don't drink it. It's like perfume. It makes your life wonderful. If you start drinking it, it will kill you. Am I shooting over your head? But some people are drinking it, thinking it's life. They drink it. They drink it. They think it's life. They drink it. I want to tell us how to live this life that I saw. Please look up here. You know why we love the world? We don't understand the simple secrets of God. God knows. I want to come down because I want to see your eyes. I want you to listen to me. God knows what I need. Because he said in the scripture, I know you have need of this thing. So he knows what I need. You know why we struggle with weight, spend money on weight? We don't understand that God knows what we need. If you want God to control your weight, he knows how much food you need. He knows the type of food you also need. If you let him tell you, your weight will come to the size it wants it to be. I'm not joking. If you let God instruct you and said, this is what you need, because I know you have need of distance. What things? He's the one to show you what your need is. Stop eating this. Eat this one. He's telling you your need. You don't need this one. You need this one. Don't need this one. You need this one. Don't eat too much. Need this. He's showing you your need. If you let God show you your need, your life will size to exactly what he wants it to be. The problem is that we decide what we want, not what God, what we need. So you eat one big basin of falena, and you don't need that. I'm telling you, you don't need that. If you let God tell you what you need, he says, I know what you need. God knows what you need. He knows what you need to live, to be exactly what you should be. God knows all of it. He says, I know you have need of what? These things. What things? Show me, Lord, because I can't decide. But we go and grab what we want. Bible says you want, you don't get, you fight and quarrel to spend it on yourself. Now listen, God knows how much money you need to survive. But we think we want more. I'm telling you where the trouble is. We decide what we want and we don't let God tell us what we need. And God says, I'll supply all your, not your want. Because the want is what you decide, but the need I decide. God knows how much you need to be exactly what he wants you to be. Because he knows that these things you are grabbing is not yours. It's passing to somebody else. So he knows how much you need. But you decide how much you want. So you take four jobs because you don't need them. You say, Lord, I want to make ends. You say, no, I'm the one that makes ends meet. Say, no, Lord, it's not you. I'm the one. So I've decided that I need the fifth job, sir. So, Lord, can you give me the fifth job? The devil says, I had you. Take. I'm telling people the truth. I'm not joking. So you add to your life what God doesn't want you to add. It becomes burden. And somewhere along the line, you develop high blood pressure. Because you're chasing the thing God says, don't. And God says, that's not the model I gave you. The model I gave you, seek first the kingdom. I'm the one to add the needs to you. I know what you need. Because these things you are chasing and packing, they are not yours. Somewhere along the line, you leave this earth. Somebody, he said, I want to know whose it will become. Are we getting anything? If you are getting something, say amen. He says, you are not rich in me. These things you loaded in your yard, barn. He said, you are so foolish. You have no idea. You don't need them. Now, I want to know now whose it has what become. Because this night, you are going home. You are going home this night. You packed it. You packed it everywhere. It's there. But it's not yours because you are going home. You are leaving this night. He said, whose is it really? If you listen to me, I will tell you how much you need to live here and do what I created you to do. That's why I say, seek you first what? Then every other thing shall now be. I know how much children you need. I can tell you how many you need. You don't need a football. You don't need a football team. Praise the Lord. Am I talking? Huh? If you let God decide your needs for you, your frustrations will be over. It's all this, they call it greed. When we decide our want, then we calculate how to do it. Then we depend on our own eyes, depend on our own wisdom. Then the devil lures us into the love of the world through those things. And the love of the Father tears down. Haven't you gone to your wardrobe and seen so many clothes you don't need? But you are still buying more. Everywhere is quiet. Do you know if you shed those things, you sleep better? Brethren, everybody that has worked successfully with God has understood the principle of seek the kingdom first. And God will tell you what you need and supply them. He said, even before you finish asking, I have what? Because that's my will for you. He knows you don't need more than one suit, two suits, three. So he'll give you three. But because you want to be like the Joneses, you add more. And now you get into insatiable mood called lust of the eye and all the love of the world. So you buy more suits, buy this one, buy shoes, so you know their names. But what you don't know is Jesus. And God says, you need patience. You need to develop patience. You need to know Christ. I know what you need. I created you. This earth, I made it. This is what you need. You need to know Jesus. You need to know Jesus. You need to know Jesus. You need to. You say, no, Lord, I don't have time for Bible studies. I know what I want. I'm chasing them. You say, okay, keep chasing them. One day, the day you leave, he'll ask you, say you got the man. Whose will it be? I say, foolish. You know, some of you, some courses you are doing, you don't need them anymore. Some courses you are doing online, you don't need them anymore. God has given you all you need. He gave you what he walk within your life. But because you are dreaming big, Americans say have a big dream. No, you have a big vision. Vision is God revealing to you what he wants you to do. Dream is what men dream up. Don't live by that. Let God give you vision. Can I hear amen? Am I still your pastor? He came to Paul. He said to Paul, you don't need a wife. You don't need a wife. John the Baptist said, you don't need a wife. You don't need a wife. You don't even need children. God put him in the wilderness. He said, this man doesn't need a wife. Doesn't need children. Paul said, some people, God made them eunuchs. They don't need a wife. They don't need children. God says, I know you have need of these things. I know what you need in this life. I created you. It's called being led of the Holy Spirit. That's how you control your weight. I'm telling you, I learned that principle. I've taken my weight, you know, weight balance, boom. Because now I say, Lord, you know how much I need to eat. You know what is good for my body. I depend on your guidance, Lord. So now, don't eat this. What it tells me may be different from your own. Because he created us, yeah. And once you're eating, your spirit will witness to you, it's enough. Have you had it before? But you continue because the soup is tasty. You will continue. They say, this soup, wow, man, who cooked this soup? The thing is witness to you, it's enough now. So, I bet, do you still have some falena? Let me take the last one here. The last one, you know. Now, that becomes success load. Packs up here, packs up everywhere. If you follow the Holy Spirit, it will reduce you to the size that he wants you to be. Not the size Miss A is and Miss B is. The size he wants you to be. Exactly what he wants you to be. When we talk of guidance of the Holy Spirit, we think it's all spiritual. It's about everything and your life. The next time you go to buy something, ask God, say, Lord, do I really need this? He might say, no. The ones you have, I've been telling you to give it to somebody who needs it. You don't need it. It's wasting time there. Take it. Go empty your wardrobes. Some people need it. You are holding on to somebody's need, somebody's property. Go and give it out. We Africans, we like clogging up. What do they call it? Huh? It's not hoarding. There's another word for it. We have a lot. All the cartons of biscuit, we still pack them. All of them. Can we do something? Give yourself an assignment. I say before December ending, Lord, me and you are going to have conference. The things I don't need, show me. If somebody needs it, I'm going to send them to whoever you want me to do. Do that and see how your relationship with God. The love of the world will die. Because that's what the devil uses to hook us to the love of the world. We love the world. We love their fashion. We love this. We love that. We love that. We love that. A new fashion comes, you go, you don't need it. Did God say you need to be naked with clothes that are torn? No. Who decided you wear torn clothes? You. Why are you wearing it? That's what they wear. Are you there? Are you there? Praise the Lord. So we don't love the world. We let God decide our need. So you have rest. Somebody has 100 shoes. How many? He doesn't need them. And he's still going to pay less. What are you doing there? What are you? Okay, some of them is 3 inches, 4 inches. Okay, you have added height. You still want more? To pay less. Pay less. My friend, God made you 3 feet, 6 inches. It's okay. If God wanted you to be taller, he'll make you taller. Why not wear the one before you fall and break your ankle? You see, pastor, good morning, pastor. Can you tell your neighbor, God knows your need though? I didn't hear you. That's called being led of the Spirit. Yeah. Yeah. You know, you can buy a bag of rice and the Lord will say, you need only half. Take half and send to brother Susu. It doesn't happen. If you listen to the Holy Spirit, he will always keep you within your need. Why? You give us this day our daily. That's what you need. Why? God is not dead now. Are you not supposed to live trusting him? You can come. Somebody meet me outside there. He didn't have rent and everything. I said, we just got paid. The Lord said, he said, give him the money. I said, why? He said, I'll give him your salary. He needs it. Outside this church, he said, write it to him. Give everything to him. And the person is here. If I'm lying, he's right here. I won't point him. The Lord said, give him your entire. He needs it. Why did I send him to you? You think he's telling you this story for nothing? He needs the money, not you. Give it to him. I'll sustain you another way. Give it to him. And I wrote the check. The entire thing. My wife is hearing it for the first time. That's the man you married. There's nothing you can't go into. The whole thing. Nothing left. Gave it to him. I said, they just paid us. Go. Because God said, you don't need that salary that month. He needs it. You don't need this one. Give it to him. That's how to follow the Holy Spirit now. And then the person went and paid rent and had somewhere to stay with the children. I said, I can't even stand seeing these children not having a place to sleep. I said, no, no, no. No. I said to him, let me see if they come to work. Obikadin, they're not here. Let me see if we can get loan for you. The Lord said, what loan? What loan? You've been paid. Give him your salary. Loan. There's no loan. It's not, he doesn't have to pay now. Giving him loan. Your salary, he needs it. You don't need it. Give it to him. See how God decides what we need. He said, this salary this month, you don't need it. I brought him to you because he needs it. He needs your salary. Give it to him. Give him the money. It's not yours. He's here. I'm not telling you what happened. The person is here. I wrote the whole thing. Boom. If I wrote it straight to the landlady or whatever, everything. And between two of nobody else knew what happened. I'm just telling you so you know that God knows what you need. But we'll decide what we want. I could say that, Lord, I want it. God said, well, I finished talking. I've told you, Lord. You don't need it. He needs it. That salary is, he needs it, not you. Didn't Jesus say, go and tell that man, the Lord has need of that thing you have. It's not your own. Bring it to me. You know, a lot of things you keep in the bank and God says, I have need of that money. Give it to me. Give it to me because they're doing Christmas something. I want to give. There are widows that need it, not you. Give it to me. I want to pass it on to them. All this Christmas program, I want to give it to them. There are people you don't know. They have need of it. They're my children. You don't need this one. I'll give you some other. Give it to. Bring it to them. Let them do Christmas something for all those widows. Give. But because we are carnally minded, we walk after by sight. We cling. And so, another way we fight back, I think this time I may not finish it today. The other way we fight back is through the blood of Jesus. That I will deal with on Sunday by the grace of God. But let me tell us something. One of the most precious things the devil has stolen is the souls of men. God didn't give us authority so that we'll be selfish. So you sit down and be fighting the devil for yourself and be increasing, like I said, the need. The need. God knows your need. He knows the other person's need. He didn't give us authority so that we'll be fighting the devil, so we'll be increasing in money, getting jobs. He gave us authority so that we will use it to set people free through the preaching of the gospel. The most precious thing the devil steals is the souls of men. Jesus said, what can a man give in exchange for his soul? And many around us are in the grip of darkness. He stole them. All souls belong to God. He's told them. The idea of the devil stealing is not just you and your selfish small life. It's that he's stealing the things that belong to your father. And God gave you authority. And one of the ways we really checkmate him and stop him is preaching the gospel. That's one of the ways we go and snatch people out of his hand and say, you thief, you stole this one, you're not taking this one to hell. It's through preaching the gospel. It's a powerful tool to go right where he lives in his den and say, I came here to take them away from you. You thief, stole them. You're not going to have them as long as I'm here. I'm stealing them from you. And then you preach the gospel to them. And it's very easy to preach the gospel. The gospel is the story of love. If you live it, they will follow you. Somebody shout hallelujah. If you live the gospel, they will what? Follow you. The problem is what we say is not what we do. We don't live love. Look, I just came from a missions conference. They were talking about all this idea of all this idea of, you know, white man is so smart. So they say there are people who are guilt-based society. There are people who are shame-based society. So how do we bring the gospel to the guilt-based society? I won't tell you what guilt-based is. Maybe next on the guilt-based. And then shame-based. You know, all this methodology, the white man likes method. So it's all method. I told him, I said, with God, there's no method. I said, there's only one language, guilt or shame, only one. It's called the love of God. Everybody understands the love of God. Everybody understands that language, love. Everybody. Everybody. It's a universal language. I said, the gospel is the story of God's love. For God so loved, nothing more. And church, there is no way God sent you and me to change anybody's life. It's none. We live the love he told us to love and go trying to change people's lives. He asked a question, Mama. He said, who maketh you to be different from the other? Is it not God? It's not the human being that makes you different. It's God. But he told us, love them. Just love them. If we love the world like God loves them, if we love them, instead of making them enemies, if we love them with the love of God, the Holy Spirit said, by watching your church conversation, even your husband who is not saved will be saved. By seeing the love in your heart, Christ is that love. He says, if you test me, you will see that I am good. But we don't live the love of love, the life of love. It's a simple thing. Love is magnetic. It attracts. Hate dispels. Love attracts. If you love like Jesus, if you let Jesus love people, pretty soon they will take into confidence and start telling you their issues. They find you a place of comfort and safety. They'll come and start talking with you. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads.